If you think back to your childhood, I'm guessing that you can think of a time when you felt teased or maybe even bullied. This is a hard topic to talk about, but as parents, we need to know what to be aware of and how to talk to our children and the schools about bullying. Our guest today is here to give you some very practical tools. This is LD Expert Live. As children are heading back to school in whatever form that takes this year, there are some that are dreading it because of past experiences with a bully. Today, we are going to help you understand what bullying is and what it isn't, and what it looks like in today's world. Our guest, Danielle Matthew, is going to give you a concrete strategy for empowering your children and some guidance on managing your own emotions around bullying as you talk to your kids. Welcome to the LD Expert Podcast, your place for answers and solutions for learning differences, dyslexia, and auditory and attention challenges. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers and author of the new Amazon number one bestseller, Take the Stone Out of the Shoe, a must-have guide to understanding, supporting, and correcting dyslexia, learning, and attention challenges. Our guest today is Danielle Matthew. Danielle is a licensed marriage and family therapist who treats bully victims and their families and educates schools, medical professionals, and the community about the bullying epidemic. Danielle is the author of Amazon parenting bestseller, The Empowered Child, How to Help Your Child Cope, Communicate, and Conquer Bullying. And she is the director of the Empowerment Space Bullying Therapy Program in Los Angeles. Danielle also has a private practice in Sherman Oaks, California, where she helps adolescents, adults, couples, and families who are in pain due to issues such as anxiety, severe stress, low self-esteem, or depression. Danielle has been featured on Huffington Post, Washington Post, and Today.com, and has also appeared on Fox, ABC, and CBS morning shows and Mom Talk Radio. Danielle trains, consults, and speaks nationwide. It is a real honor to have you here today, Danielle.
Thank you. Hi, nice to see you. Thank you for having me, Jill. I appreciate it.
Well, I know you have such important information to share with us today. And I know this topic is very close to your heart. Mm-hmm. What has caused you to be so passionate about helping young people and families who have been victims of bullying?
Well, I was bullied as a child, and I remember it so well in my mind. I was bullied in grammar school, in middle school, and high school. And I remember feeling horrible about myself and my low self-esteem. And I remember I got help, but I know a lot of kids out there who I work with and have seen don't get that help. And so that's what my passion and drive is about, is to really help victims of bullying. And so they don't feel so alone, because I get it. I'm not just writing a book as an expert or consulting as an expert. I really understand the experience of what kids go through, and even young adults who later look at their bullying earlier in history and are like, we need to really address this. So I really understand what bullying victims go through, because I was one of those myself. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough, but it really puts you in a place where you really understand.
Yeah.
And that's really critical. So let's talk a little bit about what bullying is.
So what bullying is, it's a pattern of behavior of someone having power over someone else. So they must have power over them. And it's not a one-time thing. Sometimes a one-time thing is an issue between two kids, but an actual pattern of behavior of bullying that happens over and over again, where someone has power repeatedly over someone else, is what I qualify as bullying. Sometimes a conflict resolution is like a one one-time thing we talk about that kids have with each other. But if someone has power over someone else and it's happening from one grade to the next, one day to the next, you know, whether it's online or in person, or on social media, it is still considered bullying, and it's a repeated pattern of behavior. So it's really important to say that, because a lot of times people will call bullying behavior that's not really bullying, bullying, and it's sometimes just a conflict resolution between kids or one-time event. And it's not to say that that's not important or significant, because of course that is, but it's repeated patterns of power over somebody else that is very significant for a bully victim.
And I imagine that that can take a lot of different forms.
Yes. Yeah. So the different kinds of bullying and the forms that we look at are the, you know, the physical, which is hitting somebody, which is what we can see, which we don't have a lot of, I don't think as much anymore. And then we have the verbal, which is the name calling, which we can hear people saying to each other. But the more recent, I would say 15 to 20 plus years, that we're seeing is more the cyberbullying, which is online, on social media, chat rooms, whatever you want to call it, as well as relational bullying, which is really kids being mean to each other and leaving each other out, ostracizing from groups. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm seeing the most of in my practice, is really the cyberbullying and the relational bullying. That's what's going on, I think, especially right now, if we look at COVID-19 and everything that's happened, and we're doing so much more online and we're doing so much more on media, I would say those are even more potentially prominent at this time, versus the physical and the verbal, because we're not able to connect with people as much as we were before.
And so thinking about those two in particular, the relational and the social media, what should parents be looking for?
Well, I think one thing that we look for is we talk to kids about social media and how to use it responsibly. Because especially right now, I think in COVID-19, it's really hard to tell our kids, well, you can't really go online, or you can't be talking to people, or you can't do Zoom meetings or do FaceTime, because that's all they have, because we're not allowed to see each other except for social distancing, from, you know, depending on what everyone feels comfortable with, right? So if some people aren't even able to go out, we can't take that away from them. So we want to talk about how to use social media responsibly. So what does that look like? What I always tell groups of kids when I teach it is, you're on stage. So if you think about being on a stage, everyone can see you and view you and know what's going on. And, you know, people know, and you can't take that away from somebody. So you want to be really thoughtful about how you use social media. And I think parents talking to kids about it ahead of time, and also having a social media contract that they both sign together, would mm-hmm. also be really helpful, where they work on a contract together about what they're going to watch for, what they're going to be careful about, and what they're not going to be able to look at certain things online, and how they represent themselves. I think that's the most important thing when we talk to kids about a contract or how to use social media responsibly, especially in relation to bullying, is how do you represent yourself? The whole idea of being on stage, but do you want to represent yourself positively? Do you want to go in on negative activity with other people who are on certain, you know, media sites and being mean or calling people names? Like, really having that chat with kids is really important, and having more of like almost like a morality discussion, right? About how they want to be viewed and what feels good to them, and really talking that through, and maybe even role playing certain situations that could actually come up while they're online and how they might want to handle them. And I think parents also being open always to change and to shifting of what's being happening online from certain social media sites, and, you know, really helping their kids as a guide, not telling them what to do, but kind of guiding them and giving them an ability to empower themselves to figure out what would be the best way to represent themselves with mm-hmm. guidelines from parents.
Wow. There's a lot there.
Yes. Yes.
In your book, you talk about a strategy that you call the three E's. And I would love for you to share that with parents, because I think it's a really practical tool for how to work with your kids around this area of bullying.
So I wrote a program called The Empowerment Space, and 1 week of my program is called the three E's: empathy, empowerment, and engagement. And it's how to talk to kids, for parents, for educators, for mental health workers with about bullying. And so the first one is empathy. And it's really teaching, like, I don't know if you knew this, but I didn't learn empathy also until I was in graduate school. So really teaching what empathy is, essentially meaning asking kids how they feel. A lot of times when parents will come see me, they'll say, oh, well, Johnny's been feeling this way. He's really upset about this. Well, we don't want to take that little bit of power away from the kids, right? We want them to be able to say to us, well, I feel this way. So we ask them how they're feeling. And we can say things like, I'm wondering if you're feeling embarrassed. I'm wondering if you're feeling ashamed about what was there. You know, asking those kind of questions with maybe putting words to them, but don't telling them that's what it is. So that's the first thing we have to establish when we guide kids around bullying, is we have to figure out how they're feeling and what that actually looks like. And so that's our first step, is really asking and being empathic by not telling them, but really listening to them and hearing them and asking, maybe this is how you're feeling, but not telling them. So they have a little power starting this conversation with being able to tell you what is right and what is not without any judgment from a parent. The second thing is empowerment. How do we empower our kids? How do we help them solve problems themselves? I am a big proponent, and sometimes parents will look at me and go, really, this is what you should be doing? And I said, yes, kids need to learn how to handle problems themselves. Every bullying victim that I ever talked to never wants their mom or dad to go in and talk to the principal or the kids of the bully, you know, or the parents, and they don't want them involved. They're embarrassed a lot of times. They feel bad. They don't want to make their parents feel bad, and they feel ashamed. And the last thing they want to do is have a parent handle the problem. So what I really do is more of a guide. So my guide is how to help parents with helping their kids to solve their own problems. So empowering them is, how do you want to handle this problem? If they said something to you on social media that was really hurtful, what do you want to do? Would you like to role play with me? Ways that you can actually change how your behavior would be, and I can be the other person online, and we can talk about ways for you more responsibly to respond that feel good to you. What do you want to do? But you give them the decision-making process. You guide them in suggestions and helping them along the way, but they have to decide which way is going to work for them. And my final thing is about engagement, because with bullying, it starts and it stops and it starts and it stops again. So I really encourage parents to check in to say, hey, how did that role play go for that specific online incident that happened with Sally? Did that work for you? Do you want to talk it through again? Are there other situations coming up that you feel like you may need some more help? Because if that's the case, I'm here to help you. Because one thing I will tell you about bullying is it ebbs and flows. It doesn't just go away and then you never hear about it again. When I was bullied, it started in grammar school, elementary school, and then it went to middle school and to high school. So there were waves of it. It would stop and then it would start again. And that's what I've seen in all the bullying victims I've been working with, is we have stopping and starting. So we really want to take them through those three steps of empathy, empowerment, and engagement to help guide our parents. We really, really want to do that because it's so important. And I know parents need help and guidance, because I think bullying is a very triggering topic, and parents may have had their own personal experiences or don't understand because they had a different experience with their peers in high school or junior high or elementary school. So this is a way to help give parents a guide, or educators or mental health professionals a guide as well.
I think that is incredibly helpful, because as a parent, it is really easy to get our hackles up and and just want to go into anger and attack mode over someone hurting our child. And and you know, it's hard. You know, we may think if we just say, well, how are you feeling? And the child doesn't know. So I love those little pieces of guidance there. I wonder if you're feeling embarrassed, you know, because that is so much less threatening. And and then they kind of think about it. And you know, giving parents and kids a way to think about how to solve it, how to practice it, is true. You know, you use the word empowerment. It is giving them some power. So, and of course, you're checking back.
Yes. And in my book, I have sample dialogue. So it actually can spell out for parents different ways that they can do it for different situations. One for cyberbullying, one for relational bullying, one for physical, one for verbal. So there's different actual physical examples for parents to look at. And what I hear is that parents will look at it with kids and say, well, that dialogue isn't me, but this one does fit. So they can actually visually look at something to help them understand how to talk about the issues in like samples.
Yeah. This is LD Expert Live, and today we have been talking about bullying. This is a really emotional topic for many people, either for themselves or for their children. And Danielle, again, I just really appreciate all of the practical advice you've given us.
Thank you.
At Stowell Learning Centers, we work with bright kids with learning and attention challenges, and until those struggles have been addressed and eliminated, these kids' self-esteem can take a real hit because they know they should be able to do it and they just can't. Do you find that kids with learning challenges are more prone to bullying?
They can be. It, you know, again, what I find who bully, the kids who bully are when someone's different. So if the learning challenges are very outward and can be seen in the classroom very differently, sometimes they can be kids who are going to be bullied because they look like they're different. And even though, you know, as adults, we like differences and we're really interested in people who have those differences, kids don't. Kids are not always people who like differences. And when something's weird to them or different, whether it's a learning disability or someone who can't do certain things in a classroom or function like everybody else, it feels different to them. Now, I would advise maybe instead of kids thinking that's weird or awkward, maybe asking kids, hey, why is this going on for you? You know, in a nice way, and kind of learning more about what their learning disability or their educational difficulties are. Why do you sit up always in the front of the class? Or why do you get more time, I notice, when we take tests or what happens? Why is that? You know, maybe ask the question, because kids really like that when they're asked questions versus just assuming and making assumptions or hurting their feelings. So why not just go up to them and go, hey, why is this happening? Very casually, you know, and then maybe they'll feel differently when they have a better understanding, especially for a lot of the learning difficulties that might come in to task.
That is great advice. You know, very early on, one of my adult students and I used to go into the schools and we would talk to kids about learning challenges. And he was very cool because he was actually an actor and he was, you know, a stuntman. And so, you know, the kids, they really loved hearing about those differences. And I think it really built some empathy. And so if we can help our kids to do that, if we know that there are children in their classroom who are struggling or something, kind of help them think of the language to use to approach them and just understand better.
Yeah.
Great tool. Yeah. So you have mentioned the three E's a number of times, and I feel like they are a great tool for empowering students and really applicable not only to bullying, but to other challenges as well. And I know you've mentioned it a few times, but I just think it's very powerful. And so if you would just quickly summarize that for us one more time, for talking to kids about bullying and helping them to stop it and regain their self-esteem, I think that would be great.
Sure. So I have a big feeling for me that I always use, which is knowledge is power. And the more knowledge you have, the more power you can make change happen. And so for me, if you have an empathy and empowerment and engagement process, you can really teach kids a lot and you can show them that they're just as good as anyone else by empowering them and believing in them. And so you start with empathy and asking, how are you feeling? Or I'm wondering if you're feeling ashamed about this or embarrassed that this was called out to you on the social media. Like, how are you feeling about this? And coming from an empathic place in your delivery and tone, not coming from an escalated, frustrated place. I really encourage that because that's the first step towards giving kids power back, is letting them tell you how they feel versus telling them how you think they're feeling. The next thing is empowering them. I am a big, big believer in empowering kids to be their own advocate, because at some point, parents aren't going to be there anymore and kids are going to have to learn how to advocate for themselves. So parents need to ask kids, how do you want to handle problems? How do you want to advocate for yourself? If this is going on with social media, what do you want to do to handle this problem? Do you want to role play with me? Maybe I can be this person, you can be that person online. Would that be helpful? Because I really want you to advocate for yourself, but I want us to have a plan of what that's going to look like. Not that don't worry, because sometimes that's what kids will say is, don't worry, I can handle it, mom and dad. I don't need your help. But that's when parents do stay pretty proactive and say, I understand that you can handle it and I have all the faith and confidence in the world. But even though that's the case, I still want to talk you through this. Let's just have some dialogue. You know, whatever you decide to do will be your choice, but let's run through this, and very casually doing that with a plan of action. And then you have the engagement, which is a follow-up to the plan and what you're going to do and how often you're going to do it. And then checking in later with the kids to see, hey, did that work? What we practiced? Is that something you ended up using with so-and-so? What happened? Tell me. I'd love to know if you're comfortable telling me what that's about. So what you do in this three-pronged process is you give them their power back and you empower them to believe they're amazing and that they have what's important to change things. And kids need to feel like they can change things themselves. They don't want parents doing things for them. And especially if you're in middle or high schoolers, that's even harder for them. And they want to learn to feel good about themselves. And so what you're doing as parents, educators, mental health professionals for bullying or anything else that you want to talk about, you're giving them the strength to have their voice again and to feel heard and to feel like what they're saying and doing is important in this world. And that is huge for their self-esteem.
That is huge. That was fabulous. Thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you.
If your child is dealing with bullying, I encourage you to get Danielle's book, The Empowered Child, How to Help Your Child Cope, Communicate and Conquer Bullying, a great resource. She trains and consults around the country, and she has a private practice to work directly with families in California. STOA Learning Centers are a part of a network of centers around the country working to permanently change learning and attention challenges. If there is someone in your area, we will definitely connect you. Thank you again, Danielle, for all of the insights and tools for helping parents, kids, and teachers deal with bullying.